Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard.
Moo.
And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm so depressed. Just things have got me down.
It's, I mean, you know that the end is coming.
Well, I mean, other than it's, you know, banned book week, and I haven't read a lot of banned books lately. I'm very sad. But, you know, there's other things that are getting me down, and, you know, things that no matter what happened, they'll never, ever happen again. I mean, I'll never know a better smell than opening up a brand spanking new VHS tape. I'll never know what it's like to be so excited to walk into a classroom and see that the teacher had the TV and the VCR ready, which means we wouldn't have class. I'll never be able to travel the world via ViewMaster.
Yes, you can. They still make ViewMasters.
Don't try to cheer me up. It's just not going to work. I'll never get one of those long, goofy, sticky hands that you could slap around for 25 cents out of a gumball machine. I'll never know what it's like to take my intake daily fruits and vegetables through shark bites. I'll never know what it was like hanging in a circular rack of clothes in the middle of a Target. Things that will ruin my tongue as violently as Eltoid mango sours. I'll never know anything more rewarding than getting a gold star after accidentally calling my teacher mom, or getting a mixtape from Chris knowing that she loved me.
She could make you a mixed CD.
I'll never know, never hear those words from Mr. Rogers I long to hear. I like you just the way you are.
Because you don't know how to work the YouTubes?
I'll never hear a more soothing video than Lamb Chop and Sherry Lewis. Know the joy of printing out my face from my Game Boy on my Game Boy printer. Eating Doritos that transcend our dimension with 3D nacho cheese. Cry as a scene in The Last Dinosaur when the mom says, I'll be with you even if you can't see me.
You can still watch that
I'll
movie.
I'll never know a better pair of friends than Frog and Toad. I'll never know enjoyable mouth-destroying cereal shapes.
Are you having a midlife crisis right here on this here podcast?
Ah, hell no. I'm just yanking your chain. I'm tits up.
You know, for all the stuff people complain about, oh, this is gone, this is gone. You know what I was able to do over the weekend?
Can you say it on a PG show?
Yes, I was able to watch 3 Reverend Horton Heat concerts on the YouTubes.
Cool.
In high def, no less. I screw it, I don't ever need to leave the house again. I got comics delivered to me on Friday. I could watch concerts streamed on the YouTubes onto my huge screen TV on Saturday. And Sunday, I got to see sharks dancing. We live in a world of wonders, Joe.
I wondered about that.
You know who else lives in a world of wonders?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors. This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They can be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them? Where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again. Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's Corey S3R5P. 5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore. No more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks.
It's good to be sponsored.
Yes, it is. Now you're doing stuff on some other podcast.
That's
true. On some lesser podcast. On some.
I'll call it that.
I will.
Don't get the Amish mad at us.
They're going to hear it.
I'm more of a Mennonite man myself. They at least use electricity.
But I hear you've been over there. Are they paying you?
Well, about as much as you are.
Well, there you go then. Yeah.
On the plus side, and I was going to use this for geeking, but I guess I'll cross that off my list.
I'm good at that.
I know. I'm getting all the kinks out of the audacity, whatever you call it. I'm learning how to use it. I'm getting the kinks out of it. You know, Corey, he takes me aside in the beginning of this here podcast and says, "Now, Joe, don't be trying to blow your nose halfway through the show. You at least put the mute on before you do it." You know, helpful hints like that. So I'm getting the kinks out. I'm actually looking forward to it. And I think I'm ready to get a solo Joe up and running soon.
Solo Joe.
So we got that going for me. This week I did a quick one on the Star Wars thing, which we've already done. So I'm not, it's kind of like I'm recycling things. I'm not really doing. Plus I do get the plug our here podcast here.
For those
of you from the Amish Baby Machine, thank you for listening. And if you haven't, go over and listen to Amish Baby Machine. Seriously, you can Google the term and you'll find them. How many other people do you know use those three unique words in that order? I was actually proud of the Star Wars one. I don't think it's posted yet, but it kind of gives you a sneak peek of what I think Solo Joe will be like. So hopefully y'all enjoy it.
Well, by the time this episode's up, you'll be older than you've ever been, Joe.
Well, kind of that way anyways, but.
But now you've got
just
a
following
zero
in
at
your
the
footsteps.
End of it. Yes, you are. Yep, now you got a zero at the end of those numbers. And that's always a birthday where you kind of stroke your chin and go,
Yeah, I've already changed my birth date on my Facebook page. So I don't get a lot, you know, fill up my feed with happy birthday to you. I figure the people that will comment will be people that really know when my birthday is and not doing it because Facebook prompted you.
I think it's better to have Facebook prompt you because I can't keep track of everybody's birthday. Hell, I forget mine.
I don't really care. That's the problem. I spent years always sending people birthday gifts and greetings and salutations. And then the last couple of years, I just said, you know what? Enough of that. I'll maybe start it up in a year or so. I don't know. Maybe I won't get so curmudgeonly.
You know what the bad thing about what you've done is?
I got my pants high and damn government just not giving me anything. Look, I spilled my special sauce all over my jeans. Damn it.
If you don't have your birthday listed, you're not going to get a birthday greeting from Fred Hembeck, which is always one of the best things of the year.
Yeah, man, there's a lot to be said for that. Fred is a good guy. I've always liked his stuff.
One of the things he's doing lately that makes me very happy, he's pointing out really cool movies that are on Turner Classic Movies, some that you've seen a whole bunch of times and some that are a little more obscure. You know, I'm a big fan of the Turner Classic Movies.
And not
having, except for this month. This is a month I don't like.
Not having Turner Classic Movie, I don't care.
Well, you could still watch them probably on your phone.
Well, probably.
On your tablet. Illegally on your Roku.
That's all good enough for me.
This is the month of Turner Classic Movies I don't much care for, though.
Oh,
this is,
what did they do?
The Oscar month. So we're going to get all the Oscar-winning movies again, all the movies you've seen a few hundred times. And I don't know if I've talked about it on this here podcast. I am a movie fan who pays absolutely no attention to the Oscars in any way, shape, or form after the Oscars of 1994 pissed me off. Do you remember the movies that were up for Best Picture in 1994, Joe?
I could Google them, but actually, off the top of my head, no.
So,
don't
you had
care.
You had Forrest Gump.
Oh, that was the movie made off a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
You had Four Weddings and a Funeral.
What?
You had
See
Quiz Show.
Around.
You had Quiz Show. You had The Shawshank Redemption, and you had Pulp Fiction. And
right,
out of those movies, the one that won was Forrest Gump.
Gump.
Easily the worst of all five.
Yeah, my dad wasn't too thrilled with it. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I think Jenny, the girl Jenny in the movie, one of the most evil, heartless characters.
Jenny was kind of a slut. He went to show LBJ his butt.
And out of all those movies, the only one that I never want to watch again is Forrest Gump. I think Pulp Fiction should have won. I think Shawshank Redemption should have won. Quiz Show was very good. Four Weddings and a Funeral was very British. And Forrest Gump made me hate everybody in that movie. So Citizen Kane didn't win an Oscar. I could list tons of great movies that didn't win an Oscar. So, yeah, this is some month on Turner Classic Movies. Okay. I ignore it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Dark
Star. Dark Star was very fun.
Rubber. Can't go wrong with a sentient tire.
Damn straight. And I was thinking about comic
Toxic
awards.
Avengers.
Yeah, all three of them.
Yep.
Actually, there was a, do you remember the show USA Up All Night?
Yep.
With either Rhonda Shear or Gilbert Gottfried?
Only if Rhonda was on it.
Oh, Gilbert was fun.
Yeah.
But
Rhonda
they,
had Hooters.
There was one night where I they like showed all Avengers. Three Toxic Avengers movies back to back. They don't really hang together well. It's not a well thought out trilogy. But I was thinking about comic book awards.
Such as they are.
And that's the thing. There really aren't any that matter. You know, you get the Eisners and they come out and people go, woo! And then a week later, no one remembers.
Nope.
There were the Kirbys that fell apart due to Gary Groth being a jerk.
I do tell you, I will tell you, when I used to order through the previews catalog, if I did see Eisner Award winning, I would take a second look at it and probably order a few for the shelf. I always wanted to make a display like these are all Eisner Award winners until I realized half the people buying for me at the time had no idea who Eisner was.
Half?
Very depressing.
I think you're being generous.
No. I'm not talking about the initial image boom. I'm talking towards the end.
Yeah, me too. Because I remember when an Eisner graphic novel would come out, I'd ask how many you'd ordered, and you said, well, I ordered 6. How many are pre-ordered? Yours.
5.
Mine.
Usually about 5 out of 5 people. I always one for the shelf.
Okay. But it was very much no one is paying any attention
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, there is that.
Well, they're announcing more reboots.
I could use a new boot. I got big holes in mine.
And you got big holes on your computer, too.
Yeah. Holy computer. Oh, I should mention, you know, because we always like to point out that the, you know, the MCBA comic convention is coming up in May, you know, 16th and 17th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. They have just mailed out letters to both dealers and creators. So if you don't get it by the time this here podcast is aired, give them a quick email. If you're a creator or other incentive type, it's mcbaguest@gmail.com. If you're a dealer, retailer, or other merchant, it's mcbadealer@gmail.com. And although they did change their name from SpringCon to MSP Comic-Con, it is not a reboot. There, how's that to segue back into what you're...
That does segue back.
Sometimes I remember my old radio days.
Now, I know that my box day was Friday. Was your box day Friday?
Yep. I was, you know, and the thing was, is I sat around and I was like, I had like 3 hours before I had to go to work and I was just dorking around. Then, of course, as I get ready to go out the door, bang, oops, there's my box. But I had that to look forward to when I came home. So that was fun.
Now, one of the things that I found very interesting, I'm looking through the previews. And I finally read up on, what is it called? Convergence, DC's big convergence thing. And three things hit me. First is, much like how Marvel had the ads a while back of, you know, Infinity Gauntlet mm-hmm. and Avengers for House of M, blah, blah, blah. Their promos are all from the world of Zero Hour. From Crisis on Infinite Earths, so they're hearkening back to their old events. And it does sound kind of fun because it is, okay, the people from this world are fighting the people from this world. Red Sun Superman's fighting pre-Crisis Superman sort of thing.
Pre-Crisis will mop the world with them.
Damn straight. But the thing that got me was other than a few people, like Marv Wolfman, Len Wein, Gail Simone. There's a lot of writers on there that I don't know who they are. Well, there's Scott Lodell, who hasn't written anything I've given a damn about for, oh, gee, when was he in your shop? 20 years ago?
Yeah. I don't know. There's still, you know, gold ink all over the table where he practices his name.
But, boy, their talent roster's looking a little thin. Oh, so, and the four issue, what is it, eight issue kind of spine of the series. I might get that. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, I'm on it. I'm looking forward to it.
But there are rumors that they're going to do kind of the soft reboot on the DC universe, a lot like they did with the Batgirl series, where they don't go, yeah, the stuff that we did before we're erasing. But it's more, okay, she gets a new costume, new creative team, new look, and we're not referencing anything that happened before.
Which can be jarring for the casual reader, but other than that.
And then, what is it? The Spider-Man movies, they're talking about doing a reboot on those. They want to, you know, with a new lead actor, and they're not going to redo the origin, but they're also not going to pick up all the plot threads from this one, and... So I was thinking, since reboots are in the air, I was wondering if we could go over reboots that we have really enjoyed. Because we often talk about the ones that didn't work, like when they, hey, we're bringing back the 2099 universe. Oh, wait, nobody cared. Hey, we've given Warren Ellis the new universe, and he wandered away after six issues because someone waved something shiny in the air, and he went, ooh, cool, what's that? One of the reasons why I don't read a Warren Ellis book till he's done, because he tends to just kind of wander away.
He fell.
I'm looking at you, Dr. Sleepless.
He fell away. Don't worry about it.
I'm looking at you, Fel. God, what was the other series he had? There was one series he had at DC that there was a TV series announced, like before he'd done the third issue. And then at the sixth issue, he said, I'm taking a break, and gone. But I was thinking we could talk about reboots, not just in comics, but movies, TV, whatever, that we have liked.
Cool.
And I did read up a huge article on the on what Disney has kind of done with Star Wars and why they did it.
Okay.
Because you know how they've said the extended universe is now gone.
Yeah.
There are two reasons they did it. One is they didn't want to have to employ someone to literally go through the script and see if it matched up with all the novels and all the comics and all the video games and all that stuff. It's nope, we want to do a new story. And everything that goes from here on will just tie into that. But they also started looking at all of the contradictory stuff, all of the stuff that didn't quite fit, all the stuff they needed on their web page to kind of fill in the holes and retroactively change continuity. And you know how in this novel it said this, and then in this novel it said something opposite? Well, it's because of this event that happened.
Yeah.
And I think once you get to that point where you're spending a lot of time explaining why things don't fit, it's no fun to read the books.
Yeah.
It's no fun to watch the movies. Or I think that's one of the problems that people had with Enterprise, the Star Trek series Enterprise, because they were like, wait, that doesn't fit with this.
No, I think
well, it's because of the temporal Cold War.
The other thing they did with Enterprise that shot them in the foot is they were trying to make it, this isn't Star Trek, it's Enterprise. They didn't even have Star Trek on the opening credits until about the fourth season when they realized, oh, people expect this to be Star Trek. So they kind of, I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot to begin with. Cause you didn't, you know, people who watched it as Star Trek didn't like it. And then people who tuned in already knew it was Star Trek. So, you know, what was the point of it even? They started to get a little bit better towards the end, but again, by that time it was too little, too late.
Yep. So I'm going to mention my favorite reboot ever is Star Trek. I think the two movies by J.J. Abrams were perfect in that, all right, we're going to keep the heart of it. We're not saying that any of the old stuff didn't happen, but we're starting over. And all you need is this movie to understand what's going on. You don't have to have watched all 400 and some episodes. You don't have to read all these books. You don't have to know anything. We're going to give it to you all right here, right now. Boom. There you go. And we're going to put stuff in that the longtime fan will go, oh, cool. But the new viewer won't go, what the hell was that? The Star Trek comic, the tie-ins from IDW have been really good. The only thing that I'm kind of, I wish they would put out novels in the new universe. Because the novels they're putting out now are very much tied in with each other, and you have to have read all of them to know what's going on, and I ain't got time for that. Joe, your thoughts?
They're expensive. Well, the big thing with Star Trek that I'm cautious on is I did enjoy the movies. I've been enjoying the comic. But what happens after the third movie? These actors are only tied in the three movies. Are we going to just have another Kirk? Are we going to have another Spock? Are they going to have a Star Trek TV show where we never see the Enterprise in Kirk, except for maybe overpaid guest appearances? Are we only going to see them come back when, like, the stars of X-Files realize they got nothing else going on, so let's reboot the show? So, again, I'm enjoying it, but I'm also kind of skeptical of it because, you know, yeah, you could do a show in the Star Trek universe, the new one, but what's the point? You know, you didn't do it with the old one. You got tons of things you could have done with the old one. But, you know, again, I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to, is the third one going to kill the franchise? Are the fact that it'll be way too expensive to get the actors back onto a hit again going to kill it? I don't know. I'm skeptical of it. I'm enjoying it. I just don't think it's going to last beyond the third movie.
You did hear who's writing the third movie, right?
Probably.
Scotty.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah. Simon Pegg is writing the third movie. And I've enjoyed his writing, like Shaun of the Dead and the TV show Spaced and Hot Fuzz. And so, yeah, I think one of the things they've done that's helped is they've kind of said, okay, we know the third movie is always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure, let's take our time, let's have a good script before we go in. Joe, what's a reboot that you've enjoyed?
I would have to say Doctor Who, definitely. Especially to take the show, starting with Eccleston's Doctor. And even if you had never seen Doctor Who before, you could jump on board and go forward with it. My wife is proof positive of that because, again, she's not a geek. She's not one of us. But she was able to enjoy the first Doctor. She was very skeptical when David Tennant came on board, and she got to the point where she just fell absolutely in love with him towards the end. My wife and I were just keep watching, keep watching. She's going through it again. She's like, I'm not sure about Matt Smith. And I'm like, just keep going. It'll get better. I like the fact that they do reach back and they bring up little nuggets from the past. They're not totally overwhelming us, although they do seem to run out of Dalek ideas as fast as the original series did. But to me, that was an example of a reboot that just, I think, defied everybody's expectation, including the BBC.
Another reboot that I really enjoyed was the Silver Age Marvel. They came in and brought back the characters from the 40s. And for those of you who think that's not a reboot, nope, both Marvel and DC, to begin the Silver Age, rebooted their characters. Flash was a new guy. Green Lantern was a new guy. All of these characters who are now thought of as legacy characters, I wonder what the fan reaction was like when it's, hey, Jay Garrick's the Flash, and this new guy, He has a different costume and his powers are different and I don't like it. Kind of like when people complain about a new version of an older character. Over at Marvel, they kind of said, okay, yeah, that stuff after World War II, especially the stuff in the 50s, we're ignoring all of that. Okay, Captain America has been frozen since the end of World War II. Namor, he's been a homeless derelict since World War II. We're bringing the stuff back from the Golden Age, but we're really only bringing back the characters and what we think made them cool. In a lot of ways, that was kind of the first big reboot. And over at DC, they explained it by, well, all the stuff from the 40s, that was Earth 2. That was a different Earth. Marvel is, nope, it's the same Earth. It's all the same. Are you going to explain it? Nope. We'll wait till Roy Thomas gets Jones to do that. We'll let him do it. He can have fun with that.
Yeah, but I'll give
us,
it, yeah.
We're just bringing him back. Here's the Submariner. He's back and he's cool. And I also really think that the reboot after Crisis on Infinite Earths that DC did, it was messy. It wasn't handled well. There were pockets where it got really confusing. I'm looking at you, Hawkman. But overall, DC went from kind of this comic company that kind of hung on and nobody really cared. And after Crisis, they were the number one comic book company for about a year, year and a half. with Frank Miller doing Batman, with John Byrne doing Superman, with all the new books that came out, with George Perez doing Wonder Woman. They got rid of all the crap and moved forward. And there were fans at the time who were pissed about it. There was a, back when I was on Genie, you know, back in I wanted to say Bronze Age, thinking like cavemen. But when you say Bronze Age, people go, oh, the 70s? But the early days of the internets, there were some old curmudgeonly fans who, I haven't bought any DC comics since Crisis ended. They ruined everything. But they brought in enough new fans that people went, oh, cool, I want that. Joe, what were your thoughts when DC did the reboot on Crisis?
Oh, I was nosebleeding as hard as a fanboy could possibly nosebleed. We were so, so excited with that. I mean, this was back when Gruber and I, we were just buying things, extra copies because we were doing the Weekend Warrior shtick. And even the guy we bought the comics from, John Nunziata, he was like, oh, you got to look at this. And he flipped through his, you remember the Crime Syndicate, right? From the old Justice League. Yeah, look at this. Boom. Bought it in the first pages. So they're not holding back on any of these things. And we knew it was something special. The idea that these characters, if they disappeared in Crisis, the idea was they would never be seen again. And that was the idea. So it was always, it not only was a, you had to pay attention, but it was like we wanted to see the body count, and they gave it to us in spades. The story kind of broke down in the middle. There were kind of the three issues. Even now as I read my Absolute edition, it kind of breaks down and kind of wobbles, as a lot of the stories tend to do, you know. And it'd be like Blue Devil would be making some comment. We had to go to the Blue Devil comment to see what's going on. It ends up in a three-issue brawl for it all, and it's one of my favorites, fantastic fights of all time. And the one who started it, the Golden Age Superman, he went out with a bang, and he took the bad guy with him. Even to the point where when the other crises came about, it was always exciting to see what would happen when these crises occurred. And it was kind of like the big game event. I mean, we were all geeked for, we knew the Flash was going to die. We knew Supergirl was going to die. But it was kind of weird the way they handled it, because Supergirl was kind of like forgotten, shoved aside. Flash, everybody remembered. I mean, his sacrifice played into the new Flash series where Wally West took over. But Supergirl kind of got the short shrift. They tried to bring her back as some protoplasm type thingy or a fallen angel or whatever, but eventually they just got back to it. You know, it's Superman's cousin. I forget who it was. It was one of DC's writer. I think about the time they were bringing back Supergirl as Superman's cousin, where he was standing in line at Six Flags, and he, you know, everybody could, you could almost tell the Superman one by heart, you know, rocketed from Earth as a child. He grew up on this planet and blah, blah. Supergirl was, protoplasmic beam from another dimension decided to do this and take up with a Supergirl. And he's like, oh, this is wrong. We got to just return it to the roots. You know, Supergirl, Superman's cousin.
It was Dan DiDio.
DiDio. Thank you. Yeah.
One of the things I like about.
He just couldn't believe it. I said, I can't believe I'm reading this. This is terrible.
One of the things that I like about what Dan DiDio did was he said, all right, we need to get back to the characters people know. Hal Jordan being this cosmic, crazy executioner? No, no. Hal Jordan should be Green Lantern. And while people didn't agree, people had grown to love Wally West. He said, all right, Barry Allen's going to be the Flash. And I think it's important for us to remember that it's not just this comic book story. It's, these are characters that are used in other media. These are characters that people know from their childhood, from just Super Friends, from cartoons, from this, from that. And you need to put the toys back in the box without breaking them. It's why I thought the Spider-Man yeah. clone story was so stupid, because if it would have stuck, people would have come in and picked up Spider-Man and said, oh, so Spider-Man is Ben Reilly who works at a coffee shop. Where's J. Jonah Jameson? Where's Peter Parker? Where's, and if you're spending more time explaining the basics of a book, no, you want people to pick up and go, oh, this is cool. So some of the reboots need to happen to sort of clear away all the crap.
Sometimes they're forced on you, like the Brand New Day. I know why they did it. I know why they wanted it. I know Straczynski didn't want to do it. But it's still, even to this day, it's just, it's like a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, I'm enjoying Spider-Man now, but boy, for a while there, it just sucked. I mean, Parker was an asshole. You didn't know where people were. They've never really explained how, or maybe they did and I missed it, how Harry came back from the dead. If Harry, why not Gwen? You know, I mean, just, but the ride's been good since then. And they've tried to explain it. Yes, everything happened. Just Mary Jane and Peter Parker were living in sin instead of being married. They never did have a kid. Or did they? She never died in a 747? Or did she? Just what the hell happened?
I always, well, first off, I am going to take issue with your Straczynski not liking the story. He liked the story. Until the fans reacted so poorly to it, because I remember the interviews leading up to it, during it, and then when the fan reaction was so violently angry, he went, oh, I didn't want to do it. I wanted nothing to do with it. I said it was a bad idea. But before, he said, I wanted to go, I determined the point where things changed. It's Peter Parker saved Gwen instead of Gwen dying. And that's where I wanted the story to be. And they said that, no, they wanted to keep Gwen dead because it was such a seminal. But so he was all for it until the fans got mad, which means he's a lot like Stan Lee, because Stan Lee was always for stuff. And then the fans would get mad and he'd go, change it. Once again, it was Gwen. You know, John Romita and Gary Conway said, nah, we need to kill Gwen. We need to kill Gwen. We need to put some tragedy back in Spider-Man. And, you know, they ran it by Stan. Stan said, great, do it. And then the mail came in.
Yeah.
And he went to his lectures and people would come up and they were mad at him. And he came back and said, Gwen's got to be in the book next month.
Yeah, no, I think that's a, and you know, that was even the second time they did it, because when he had his story, what was that, that train wreck, Sins of whatever?
Sins Past.
Yeah, where apparently.
Harry Osborn raped Gwen Stacy. She had
Norm did it. The dad did it.
That's right. Norman Osborn raped Gwen Stacy.
If I think about it.
The kids are now adults and want to, and the girl wants to boff Spider-Man.
It would be like if I took on one of my daughter, my college daughter's roommates, you know, because she was crying. I'm like, that is so wrong. I mean, I would retro that to like, yeah, he used his green goblin pheromones to seduce her. Or maybe it wasn't, I'd do one better. I'd say it wasn't the real Gwen Stacy. It was the clone. Because even back, you could do that because what's his name? The Jacko was jerking around with everybody allegedly around that time anyways. So that would be my continuity reboot right there.
Here,
it's
I'll
just
make
a
it
terrible
least,
story. And it would have had more poignancy had it actually been Peter and Gwen's kids. But again, how could
that
you have
Peter
that? I mean, if you're not willing to have him. Yeah, I mean, if you're not willing to have Peter Parker having sex out of marriage, you know, you know, you don't want to marry it yet, obviously. Well, we all know when he wasn't married and all that time with Mary Jane, the hottest woman, redhead on the planet, they were in a chaste relationship. We know that for a fact. Metamorpho, whatever, wouldn't do anything to oh, whatever. I'm going to puke harder than anything of death.
Well, here's the good thing about the whole Sins Past thing.
Oh, it's in the
Mark
past.
Waid in an interview somewhere was talking about, nope, with one more day, all the stories happened, except Sins Past. That That didn't happen. That never happened. We'll never mention it again. It was the dumbest thing they've ever done with Spider-Man. And that includes...
Quite like, what's his name, walking away with Parker's baby. You know, never happened. Never happened.
But I like how he said it's dumber than the Spider-Mobile. It's dumber than the Tinkerer being an alien. It's dumber.
Yeah, but that was funny because they explained that away. It was a ruse, my boy.
Well, yeah, but they explained it away 15 years later.
Why not? He hadn't made an appearance in 15 years. I thought, that was where it was fun because they'd go back and they'd plop these obscure characters and pull them forward, you know, and sometimes I think we were reading Avengers Academy and it was that way where you'd be, oh man, I can't believe they brought this person back. Oh man, they brought Hybrid from the old ROM comics, you know, just fun stuff, you know. So you need to reboot.
I know a reboot that you enjoyed a lot.
Okay.
That you have not mentioned yet.
Which one?
The Gold Key reboot that Jim Shooter did in the early 90s.
Oh, big time. That was fun. That was when he had Valiant going. We've gabbed on and on about that in a previous podcast. And it felt organic. It wasn't forced. They weren't like, here's a tons of books you have to read and they all tie together. They just kind of, I mean, I'd have to go look it up. I don't know if it was Solar made the first crossover into Magnus or if it was the other way around where they suddenly realized, hey, these books are tied together. And by the time Unity came, they had all these titles together. People were all excited about it. There was heat on the back issue market. It was done well. And of course it didn't sustain and fell apart. I just remember the heat on those books. I mean, Pat and I came into Hot Comics with a full set. Both of us had full sets of Valiant comics all the way back to Magnus One, including, I think there was you had to send away for a zero issue by sending coupons out. So therefore the books that had the coupons became more valuable than the ones that didn't. The book that you sent away for became valuable. There was a Solar 10 that had an entirely black cover that people were going crazy for. And then Unity hit, and Unity had variants, the gold, the platinum. But we made some good coin off those, books when they first come out. Now you could probably, they're starting to go, some of the early ones are going up again, but I still think you could probably pick them up cheap on eBay if you look about.
Yeah.
Now here's one that sold extremely well. Heroes. No, it wasn't Heroes Reborn. What was it called?
No, it was Heroes Reborn. And then, when they came back from the Image thing, it was
Heroes Return.
Yep, Heroes Return. Yeah.
Heroes Reborn sold well. It had a lot of heat. People were excited about it. Again, I think they put the Onslaught event into it, which got, I mean, basically got everybody's attention. And it made the Marvel Universe interesting because now you had a world without heroes, and the ones who were left behind had to step up or felt guilty because they were left behind. And they, meanwhile, in the Heroes Reborn universe, well, some was fine, some was okay. Into them, and I think Doctor Strange discovered them, but they never really told the rest of the Marvel Universe, hey, we found them. But when they finally came out, it led to an exciting Thor reboot. It led to a Fantastic Four run. Doctor Doom disappeared and came back. So that was kind of, it was good sales wise. The reboot itself kind of fizzled until, they came back. So that was actually, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good way of doing it. And of course now it has, repercussions into the upcoming Secret Wars and whatever's going on in Avengers, which is real trippy. What were your thinking, Corey, when you saw all this stuff coming down the pike? Were you into the Onslaught, Heroes Reborn, Heroes Return thing, or were you just kind of, nope, I'm checking out for every year.
Well, with the Onslaught stuff, I had checked out of the X-Men. I checked out of the X-Men after Age of Apocalypse because for me it was, you know, I have not enjoyed these books for a good 4 years. Why am I still buying them? It's okay. Onslaught. No, it was Apocalypse kills Professor X in the past or however it happened. I don't even remember. And it was okay, good. I'm done. I'm out. I haven't enjoyed these books. The art's a mess. The writers don't write. The editor likes these mysterious masterminds stories that never, ever end.
Or the villains that are so impossibly powerful, you just can't throw them in jail.
So when they started the build up to Onslaught, you got to remember Marvel's main books were crap at the time. You had Teen Tony, Avengers The Crossing, Fantastic Four. Reed Richards was dead for like 3 years, and they were searching for him for 3 years. So when it went over to Image, it was, okay, I don't like Rob Liefeld, so I don't care about those. The Jim Lee stuff, I'm not interested because it sounds like they're going to be retelling the old stories with hip new modern art.
Hip. And you're nothing. But then, you are nothing if not hip, new, and modern.
But then when they came back, it's like, Kurt Busiek and George Perez on the Avengers? Okay. Kurt Busiek on Iron Man? Okay. Dan Jurgens on Thor? I'll pass on that. The Fantastic Four, Chris Claremont, back at Marvel? And I'm one of the few who really liked his Fantastic Four run because he didn't do the endless subplots that never lead anywhere. He kept very focused because he had an editor who told him, no, you're going to keep really focused. One of my favorite new Marvel characters came out of the Chris Claremont run, Valeria. Reed and Sue's daughter. I was excited when they came back because there was a lot of talk, especially Kurt Busiek, of we're going back to telling superhero stories with a beginning, middle, and end. They're going to be heroes again. We're not going to do the dark and gritty stuff. Busiek had done Marvels. He had done Astro City. He, in my mind, was one of the guys at the top of his game. And those books were kind of a soft reboot. It's okay. You know all that crap that happened from like 92 to 96? Yeah, we may explain it away at some point, but we're really going to ignore it. You know, the whole Tony Stark had always worked for Kang. Yeah, we're ignoring that.
Yeah, it happened, but it didn't. Don't worry about it.
And to my mind, there was almost a bigger reboot, but it was more in how they told stories. A few years later, in that they went to, okay, we're not going to have the endless soap opera anymore. We're targeting stories that fit in trade paperbacks. We're not going to be tied to the past anymore. We're going to tell stories that are complete unto themselves. We're going to bring in new creators. We're going to have the art style be more cinematic and less posterish. And that actually came out of the whole Marvel Knights thing. Marvel Knights was such a success that they kind of tapped Joe Quesada and said, we want you to do this for the whole line. But I really think those Heroes Return books were the start of that. It got out of that sort of what I call the endless X-Men soap opera storytelling style that had taken over Marvel. And if you look at a lot of those Heroes Return, they are built around 3-issue stories, 5-issue stories, 7-issue, you know, boom, boom, boom. And I think that works a lot better than the every issue ends with to be continued. Another reboot that I really enjoyed, Guardians of the Galaxy. When they started Guardians of the Galaxy, the new series in 2008, they took a bunch of characters that no one had given a damn about for years.
Yeah.
And it came out of Annihilation, which was kind of Keith Giffen going, okay, we're going to do cosmic stories, but we're going to quit rehashing everything Jim Starlin did. We're doing something completely new. So they kind of gathered up these characters that no one had done anything with for a while and really did something new with them. So in a lot of ways, it was a Marvel Cosmic reboot. And the cool thing is, Jim Starlin has now come back to Marvel, and his stuff fits in with what they're doing while still retaining the Cosmic stuff that he did, because he's a really good team player in my mind.
Wow, this one's been going on a while. Pretty soon we're going to have to reboot our show.
Yeah, we're coming up.
I want to be Uncle Rat Bastard.
Well, Joe, just think, in about, what is it, 2 weeks? We'll have been doing this for 5 years.
I was a lot younger then.
And we're coming up on episode 200. We may have to do something for that.
Maybe we should do an all-flashback show. What do you think?
That's a lot of work.
I know.
I don't want to put in.
I think, friends, if you want Corey to do a lot of work and do the best of show, just bombard him with hate mail. And no, that only worked for Stanley and Straczynski. yeah, just let him know what you want.
So Joe, out of any of these reboots, when you were back at the shop, we'll get into a Tales from the Shop here. How did you let people know that this big change was coming? Like with when they did the Heroes Reborn and then Heroes Return, did you do anything big and special with those? Did you hype it up in the shop? Or did you just go by what people ordered?
Well, as far as ordering, we usually went pretty deep because we figured – at that time, it didn't matter if it was a Marvel number one. It was going to sell eventually. You use orders to try to gauge it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends on the number one, really. And, you know, again, we had newsletters that we would do. I had the hotline going where it was basically in our little warehouse area. We had a phone line. I had a AT&T 5500 phone machine, which was interesting because it had two 60-minute tapes on it, so you could record a very long message if you wanted to. Most of the time, a phone machine only gave you 10 seconds or 60 seconds, but this one allowed you to do it, so I made it a hotline, and then I would flip it on to no messages because this was an advanced machine. You didn't have to take a message. Then every Tuesday I would disappear for about a half an hour, go down and I'd read off the list. I'd talk about things that are coming up. And of course, we did use the Wonder Board to try to...
The Wonder Board!
A humongous grease pencil board. I remember trying to get that sumbitch home from Office Max. I only had to go about 5 miles, but the problem was it didn't fit in the truck, didn't fit in the car, so... It was wintertime. Well, fortunately, I had one glove. So what I would do is I tied it as best I could to the car, knowing that the mattress effect, if you stop, the mattress goes forward. If you start, the mattress goes backward. If you turn left, it goes left. If you turn right, it goes right. So I tied it down as best I could, and I held on to it and basically took side streets all the way back to the shop. There's only one part I jumped onto a main street. I just went about 20 miles an hour. I don't care if people went around me or not. Got off. And then continued going side streets. But that was always a big one, too. As far as the way the ordering went, for the most part, the people who bought Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Avengers wanted to continue seeing Fantastic Four, Avengers, Iron Man. And then when it came to Heroes Return, they continued on as well. A few people jumped off. I tried to keep in mind if people wanted to jump on. But again, for the first couple issues, you ordered enough. I don't recall if there were incentive variants at the time. There might have been. I don't recall. But it seemed to work out okay for that. Nowadays, I don't know. It'd be a little tougher. You know, I mean, it's like what we talked about. I don't know if we did it on the podcast or off. I asked you about the new Hawkeye coming up. And you said, well, they're trying to create the flavor of the original team, but not. And so I'm like, well, maybe I'll pass, you know. So for the most part, I'm not against reboots. I want to see how they do it. You know, I mean, I survived the Battlestar Galactica reboot. I could survive anything.
I think the Battlestar Galactica reboot was pretty awesome, by the way.
For what they ended up doing, I think it was. And I can't help but wonder if they want to reboot. I kind of like the idea of Richard Hatch's, for lack of better terminology, Battlestar Galactica, The Next Generation. I read his books that he did based beyond the original Battlestar Galactica. They were pretty entertaining. He had some good ideas. I don't know how many of the originals you'd want back, but to have a whole new cast, let, Hatch be the, Adama figure.
I wonder if you could reboot something too many times or too close together. Because
Spider-Man is real, real proof pudding of that one.
Yeah. But I think if you did a new Battlestar Galactica, it's so close to the TV series that Sci-Fi did that was so good. If you're not better, you're going to get slaughtered by people.
The only other thing about the Battlestar Galactica Sci-Fi did, it's not cheerful viewing.
No.
I mean, I started watching it on Netflix. It's not on Netflix anymore, so I'm not going to finish it. I did have my good buddy Pat tell me how it ends because I didn't think I'd ever get to it. But I did start watching it. I did enjoy it, but it just was so morose. It was like, I want to watch it because I do like it, but it's going to be just depressing. It doesn't lend itself well to binge viewing, you know, and that's about the only flaw I could see in it. I mean, if you do watch it, it's like you can only watch onesie twosies. You know, or if you hit an episode that, oh, I can't believe that's how they ended. Okay, get to the next one, you know.
I think that it has one episode that may be my favorite science fiction TV episode of all time. And that is, I think it was called 61, where they have a clock counting down. And they're having to keep jumping every 61 minutes. Because after that time, the Cylons find them. And it shows how tired they are and how ragged they are. And you really get that feeling of this is the last of humanity and they're under the gun and they're hunted. And you got a real sense of the gravity of the situation. And that was always a problem. You know, there was the 70s cheesiness of the original. But also with the original, you never felt like anybody was ever in any danger.
No, it was a buddy flick. It was the 70s buddy flick. Two guys having fun after the apocalypse.
Yeah. And that's why I put off watching the reboot for so long, even though people are saying, oh, it's really good, it's really good. Yeah, but I went back and I've watched some of the original, and it's a crap idea. It wasn't that it was a bad show so much as it's just a stupid idea. And they took it and said, no, it's not a bad idea here. Here's where we take the idea and treat it seriously. But we're also going to talk about something that they don't, isn't taken very seriously. Something that's not a good idea.
Yes.
Joe?
What?
It's time for, oh my God, the 90s actually happened.
Oh, not again.
So, you've got Ghost Rider. They did a reboot of Ghost Rider in the early 90s. It was very, very successful. Much more successful than the original. And because it was successful, they started adding more characters to it, including Vengeance. Vengeance, which was the evil version of Ghost Rider, who's already evil. But his motorcycle was made out of bones. And he had spikes all over his costume. And here's my favorite part. He had a purple mohawk. He had a purple mohawk made out of bone covered in flame. And one of my friends, I told him about this character, and he said, no, 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 I liked when Johnny Blaze became the Ghost Rider again. No, that's not who this was. This was Zarathros's Hellfire caused severe psychological damage to a police officer who went on to kill his wife, daughter, and himself, leaving his young son alive. With his sister's death, the young son inherited both quarters of the Medallion of Power, and he became a cop, and then became Vengeance, the evil version of Ghost Rider, a character possessed by a demon. Go to the Wikipedia, go to the internets, click and take a look at just how goddamn 90s this character was.
I mean, the
spikes on his shoulders are taller than his head. What was it with huge, huge goddamn spikes on characters in the 90s? They're not practical. Have you ever worn anything with spikes on it, Joe?
You know, you could always just rename this segment "In a Quarter Box Near You." But there's a few things that I even think quarter boxes can't contain.
So even the one friend I have who said, "Oh, it wasn't a bad character," he didn't. He got the wrong character. When Johnny Storm became Ghost Rider again, it was Blaze.
Ooh.
He was Blaze, and Vengeance was the evil Ghost Rider who was out to get revenge because Ghost Riders made his dad go crazy and kill the family. And yeah, that was the 90s. Well, we've been doing this for a long time, Joe. We've been doing this almost 5 years, and you know what my favorite segment is?
Time for a reboot.
No, time for me to look up pictures of Christina Hendricks while you tell me what you're freaking on. What are you freaking on, Joe? Freakity geeking.
Well, I got bad news.
Oh, no. Is it bad news or sad news?
No, bad. Well, it could be sad. It depends. Coming.
Sad
up-
news, everyone. Sad news.
Next week will be the last Crazy Comics.
What?
For approximately 1 week. Yep. As you know, I'm hitting the big 50, and as part of the celebration, my wife in 2 weeks will be taking me to a hotel nearby.
To the asylum?
Well, maybe. She said hotel, asylum. I could understand the confusion between the two. So next week, after next week, there'll be a 1 week pause. I imagine Corey will fill it up with stuff. He's got a whole head full of trivia. And then we'll continue on in 3 weeks. So just to prepare you that out, it's something we don't want you having your own freaking.
I will say that one of the people.
We'll call it just like comic industry. We'll call it a skip week.
There you go.
This will be our chance to. Catch up. People can catch up with all 180 plus episodes that have been done, and that'll be the week you can all download them one more time and listen to them. And if you find a bit you really enjoyed, send them to us, and maybe we'll redo them and share them with you on the 200th episode.
Well, or not.
I'm not going to do that clip show yet. I mean, that's going to happen.
You know what? You've got audacity. You could do the damn clip show.
I'm still learning it. You're an expert at it. You could do it in your sleep.
Oh, I wish. You know how I have so much trivia in my head. There was a conversation going on today where I was, you know, I was a little stressed. So I'm, you know, drumming on my desk, and somebody says, "Oh, are you a drummer?" I said, no, I don't know anything. I'm not a drummer. I just can do, you know, a couple Rush riffs. And I did the one from YYZ, and I said, I know this one, you know, da 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 da. And the only reason I remember that is because it's Morse code for YYZ, which is the name of the song. And the person who's known me for about 3 weeks said, you have so much information in your head. Do you ever feel like your head's going to explode because it's too full?
I'd pay for that.
So if my head explodes on an episode.
Yes.
We should make it a premium episode and charge people for it.
This is the one that Corey loses it.
Oh, I've lost it before.
And did you ever have it?
Well, that's up for debate.
Yeah.
So anything else you're freaking on, Joe?
Well, my daughter Holly has decided to
have purple hair.
Well, it's been done. Sorry, Holly. Dana did it first. But she has decided to resurrect all my LPs. And in some ways, I'm very impressed. I mean, we were out at Target the other day, and she bought one of the – actually, I think it was Best Buy. She bought one of the Bob Dylan Greatest Hits CDs. So, you know, she bought Janis Joplin earlier. She's into Fleetwood Mac. She's really digging all the old-style music. So we went downstairs. I showed her all my LPs, where they're hiding. I gave her my LP juice, the magic cloth. You wipe it down, showed her how to do it. And although I have my stereo system set up behind me, she has her own setup upstairs. And she finally took my box of 45s and she went upstairs with them. And to her credit, she did figure out what the adapters were for. You know, the little plastics thing you put into the oversized hole on a 45. And she was good with that, but then she came downstairs and she says, I need help. I said, oh, okay, what's up? She holds the 45. Where do you start this? What do you mean, where do you start it? Well, I don't know where you drop the needle. Oh, and to that, my wife started laughing. And I said, oh, you drop it on the edge. And she holds she puts her thumb along the edge of the record. Oh, right here. I said, no, that'll destroy the needle. Just see the little space. And then there's a lot of stuff where it's together and then space in the middle. You start on the edge. You just drop it gently. It'll get into the groove. You'll hear it go, and then just let it play. Oh, okay. So she went upstairs, much to the bemusement of my wife and I. We kind of sighed at each other and we looked and said, you know what? We're old. We just had to explain to our daughter how to run an LP. The only ironic thing about this is she's using my computerized turntable that you have to plug into a computer to listen to. So that's kind of unique, old and new. Other than feeling old, that's all I got. Corey, what's got you freaked out? What's freaking you? What's got you feeling worse than Christina Hendricks declaring herself a false redhead and becoming a blonde?
Wait, you're bringing me down, Joe.
I'm telling you, there's things that bring you down. I mean, I can get into the six most messed up things in Star Wars no one ever talks about.
So I'm driving to work today.
I take it as a no.
And as I'm going, all of a sudden my car starts going.
Which, if you've ever watched Cars, is really funny.
And if you've ever listened to the Jack Benny show when Mel Blanc used to do the sound effects for Jack Benny's car, that was before my time, but I still listen to it. But my car was doing that, and the first thing in my head is, oh, no, not today, not today, not now, not now. Oh, please, okay, please, not now, not now, not now. Because, as I've said, my supervisor and the other member of the supervisory team are all in Costa Rica, and we're having a huge spike in phone calls. And people are calling in sick when really they're going on job interviews, because, you know, their job's going away in a month. Of course they're going on job interviews.
Sure.
So it's like we're scheduled to have 8 people on the phone. How many people do we have? 4. That's going to be a fun day. So the car.
Wait, do that again.
Bleh.
One more time.
Bleh.
All right, guys, I am capturing that sound effect and it's going to be used in Solo Joe. He has the crickets. I'm going to have Corey going, bleh.
And at first I go, what could be wrong? What could be wrong? And the gas needle says that I have 5/8 of a tank. And then I realize something that I've known for a long time, But, you know, when you're stressed and everything, you forget detail. Oh, that's right. The gas gauge doesn't work. So I have to push the car off to the side of the road. It wasn't warm today, by the way. Push the car off to the side of the road.
No.
Why, yes, we did, Pepper Boy. And with my car insurance, I have roadside assistance. So I call. Now, granted, I've been going to work early because I'm the only supervisor there. And I know that during the day, I'm going to be getting the work of three people. So I've been showing up about a half hour early. So I call the roadside assistance folks. And it's rush hour. You know how long they said it would be before they got there?
I don't even want to think about it.
90 minutes. I was sitting in a cold car.
In a cold car.
Wrapped in a blanket.
Wrapped in a blanket. He didn't go far.
I'm wrapped in a blanket with a hat, gloves, coat, everything.
You heard it. Corey and, was rapping.
And it was one of the mornings I woke up a little late, so I didn't make my hot tea. Nope, I stopped at the gas station, got soda. I ain't drinking cold soda when the car is 5 degrees. I got to work an hour late, and the person I texted to say, could you tell the team I'm having car trouble? I'll be in as soon as I can. It'll probably be about an hour. I get to work, and people are like, oh, gosh, we're so glad you're okay. What do you mean? Well, we hadn't heard from you. So I went over to the person I texted because I could have texted my supervisor, but he's in Costa Rica and he doesn't have his phone on because you don't want to pay those charges. So he would have got the text. Oh, let's see. February 28th. She went, oh, gosh, I had the email written and I forgot to send it. Also, and I won't go into a whole lot of detail, I know it's a first for me, but one of my favorite political bloggers, Andrew Sullivan, who does the Daily Dish, has said that he is going to stop blogging. He started in 1999. And the thing is, I've noticed that since he announced he stopped blogging, he's had more posts than before. But he talked about how, you know, daily blogging, you have to put up a certain number of articles every day in order for people to think you're still doing it, et cetera, et cetera. And he said that the grind was starting to affect his health. He's been doing it for 15 years. He's much older and can't keep up the pace. But when he started, he would tell old people that he's a blogger and they would go, what's that? Now, when he tells young people he's a blogger, they go, what's that? Blogs and internet discussion and all of that seem to be fading away in favor of Facebook, Twitter, and those links of, this motorcyclist did something to a little girl. First you'll be scared, then you'll laugh, and then you'll cry. So I think we're going from long reason discussion to, this sucks. Hashtag idiot. Hashtag boner. Hashtag left shark. And it's kind of, I'm bummed by that. I like good blogging. Comic blogging seems to have faded away. Political blogging is fading away. To now it's more the big sites like Slate and Hot Air and Little Green Footballs are just, here's an article by a guy, read it, rather than discussion. And now that I've put everyone to sleep, geeking. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving? What are you excited about?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, thanks to Corey's meddling, I'd gotten away with it too if it wasn't for your meddling podcasting. I'm doing the comic book minute for the Amish Baby Machine. I'm actually having fun doing that, and it's getting me all hyped. I got a couple ideas on what to do with Solo Joe rather than talk about it and never deliver. So we got that coming. Been doing a bit of eBaying, putting on a lot of different variant covers. The recent batch, which should be ending before this podcast, I had a bunch of Army of Darkness, a couple of Bionic Women, a lot of sketch covers. And this week, in time for the podcast, I put up a bunch of like 1 in 20 variants that Marvel had, including some of the Groot ones. So if you do win something from me on eBay, just send me a quick note at crazycomics@gmail.com or through eBay system, and I'll take something off my accumulation of crap and give it to you for free. Maybe I'll give you free shipping. All for you podcast people, because we love both of you that are still with us. This month on Netflix, we got MASH. And my wife and I, we're finishing up the final season of West Wing. We're deep into the fourth season of Cheers. And we decided, you know what? Let's go back and check out MASH, because it had been years since we've seen the first season of MASH. This is the first four or five seasons are on Netflix. And I think those are the funny seasons before they started getting a little more preachy. And there's a lot of things that I've missed because of syndication cuts when they're played regularly. So it's been fun to go back, especially that first season where they had all the characters that they had appear here and there and eventually drop, like Ugly John the Gas Passer or Spear Chucker Jones, you know. So that's been a lot of fun. Somebody told me there's a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird coming out. So I guess
it's not a sequel.
I better read the first one, huh?
The author, Harper Lee, is putting out a second book because she only had the one book. Here's the weird thing, Joe. It's going to be erotic fan fiction featuring a crossover between Star Trek The Next Generation and The X-Files. Who knew? Who knew that that's
well,
what she liked
you
writing?
Know, I'm not to cast aspersions upon your particular take of events, but, you know, talking to that news guru, Brian Williams, he said that she actually wrote this one first. Her editor told her it needed work, and she put it aside and all these years thought it was lost.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, your version sounds more plausible, so we'll go with that. As Corey mentioned before, it was Box Day. I'm just going to run through quickly the things I read. Unlike most times, I really didn't get a lot of reading done between then and now. I've been doing a lot of eBaying and laughing at my daughter wrestling with 45s and stuff. Right away out of the box, I read Knights of the Dinner Table. I've blabbed on. They're doing a gigantic multi-board crossover, and the story was so compelling that I actually couldn't wait for Knights of the Dinner Table 216. I actually read it at the source before I got it in Box Day. This Box Day, I got two. I got 216 and 217, which had just come out, so I was able to catch up on that. I ripped through those quick. The aforementioned Guardians 3000, which is the rename of Guardians of the Galaxy, number four. Did you read this one, Corey?
I haven't read number four yet.
Okay, well, it will answer a question you asked previously, so I won't say nothing.
Oh, good.
Avengers 40, of course. We're 4 months till time runs out. And Fantastic Four, The End Is Forever, number one. Boy, they're kind of leading to something here. I wonder what the big secret is. Guardians of the Galaxy 23. I loved New Avengers number 29, because on the cover was the Beyonder from the Secret Wars. And again, all these books had a last page surprise that they're just driving me crazy. Angela 2, Spider-Man and the X-Men 2, Thor 4. You're kind of catching a theme here, you know, all Marvel. Uncanny X-Men 30. Those are the must reads that I ran through right away. I did read Battlestar Galactica, Death of Apollo, from Dynamite number 2. And in case you're wondering if all my fun just comes out of a box, no, I was actually over at the source and I picked up a copy of Munchkin number 1 from Boom Studio. And it's basically based on basic art from Steve Jackson, Phil Reed, Andrew Heckard. And if you've ever seen a Steve Jackson game, you probably want to go pick this up, because it's looked to be a lot of fun. I'm not big on the game, although the last page is set up where you can fit, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cards, and it actually has a card in it. So if you're playing any of those games, you'll probably want it. So that's pretty much what I've been geeking on. One thing I'm sort of sad on, apparently WWE Superstars magazine from WWE Books and Super Genius through Titan, if that's any more confusing than you think. It may be over. I've just noticed they canceled issues 13 and 14. And issue number 12 is number 3 in the 4-part Legend series, where they're doing kind of a crossover where you could have the, let's see, what did they do here? They had the NWO Hogan fight the classic Hulk Hogan. They had, Ultimate Warrior fighting, John Cena. So they're kind of doing what you can do in the video games, but doing it on the comic books. And of course, it too had a last page surprise where, it was Undertaker King fighting and, Roddy Piper was getting out of hand and suddenly gets bonked on the head by a baseball bat. And there's a guy holding it with a crow face saying it's showtime. So I thought that was kind of neat. So one more issue and it may be done. Funny how, the closest thing we had that could imitate comics was pro wrestling, at least till technology caught up with the movies. Oh, well. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you happy? What's got you more thrilled knowing that Christina Hendricks is a natural redhead?
Oh, she's not.
I don't care. What's got you geeking?
Well, I have a short tales hanging at the home.
We're hanging at the home.
We are recording this 2 days after the Super Bowl, but that's not what I watched. That's not what I enjoyed. No, we watched the Kitten Bowl. Hallmark Channel, you've got the Puppy Bowl on Animal Planet. Almost said Hannibal Planet. That'd be an
actually,
crossover.
I like that. I like that. That actually sounds more interesting.
But over on Hallmark, they had the second annual Kitten Bowl, which was basically 6 hours of kittens playing on a big thing that looked kind of like a football field. And it was the calmest, quietest shift I've ever had, and I used to work overnights. They were enthralled by this. Not just the residents, the staff. They just 6 hours of kittens playing and doing stuff and everything. And it was amazing.
Oh, tell me you caught
just because. Here. Just because. I could just sit back and I made lunch and never had to. It was easiest 8 hours of my life, Joe. Easiest 8 hours of my life. I got caught up on X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy because they've got the big crossover coming. I do need to get caught up. I have not read Legendary Star-Lord, Guardians 3000, any of the Guardians spinoffs. But I'm caught up on X-Men and Guardians, loving those books. And I had myself a big old stack of showcases show up in my box. I had Blue Beetle Showcase Presents, Jonah Hex, Volume
Ooh.
2,
Ooh.
The Great Disaster, The Unknown Soldier, Volume 2, and the other big old thick book was Savage Sword of Conan, number 18, which is actually they reprinted the Savage Sword of Conans when Roy Thomas came back to the magazine.
So you're all set for your weekend number twos.
Damn straight. And the cool thing is, a lot of the Savage Sword of Conan stories I didn't read, because by that point, I'd kind of tapped out on Marvel's attempt to get that magazine canceled. I've talked about in the past how Jim Shooter hated the magazine, and there were other people at Marvel who hated the magazine, so they'd put people on it who weren't very good, and around the office. They would say, the only people who buy that are tattoo freaks and bikers. Well, when Roy Thomas came back, all of a sudden, John Buscema's back. And John Buscema's got great anchors on it, because Buscema always loved drawing that stuff more than superheroes. So it's like, crap. Woo! There's another sound effect for you, Joe.
Ooh, I'm going to keep that one.
Looking through the previews, I saw that IDW now has artisan editions. You know how they have the artist editions? Mm-hmm. They're great big on regular. They're doing some that are regular trade paperback size now.
Oh, and hopefully
it's
not
still
prohibitively expensive.
$50.
It can be a little better, a little more manageable.
I think they're hardcover.
That's fine.
But it's still shot from the original art. And the they say they're only going to do two a year. And the first one is going to be Wally Wood's EC Stories, which is the artist edition that they've had to reprint twice. So very excited about that. It's a format that I can afford rather than the $150, $200 huge book. Nope, it's a regular book, but it's still that beautiful Wally Wood art. And while I don't really need it because I have the EC volumes, which were all shot from the original art in black and white, I was really happy that other people are going to be able to see that and just get a good look at how beautiful his EC art was. IDW also announced that they are bringing back the Disney comics. Uncle Scrooge, Donald Duck, all of those are going to be coming back over the next year.
Ooh, that's odd.
And while I didn't see any Don Rosa stories, because I know he's got a whole ton of stories they've printed over in Europe and haven't brought here yet, I like me the Disney comics. When Gladstone started printing them in the 80s, I picked them up because I remembered loving them as a kid, and I loved them even more as an adult. So hopefully they do a good job with the newer stories. TV wise, one of my favorite series, probably my favorite series on TV right now, is in its last season. Justified has started its final season, and those first two episodes were pretty damn good. Joe, if you haven't watched Justified yet, I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. You'll like that one.
Cool.
And lastly, no, not Bobby Lashley. Lastly, a couple of web comic strips are coming back. One is already back, and the other one's back real soon. The first one is Everyday Gods is back. Joe, do you remember the Everyday Gods?
I only remember the Every Other Day Gods.
Everyday Gods by our buddy, our pal, our friend of the podcast, Dangerous Dan Moore. That one's back, and in about 2-3 weeks, his other strip is coming back, a little strip known as Worldwide News.
Ooh.
And we may even have old Dangerous Dan on to talk about that and to pollute the episode with a bunch of damn Transformers talk. So that's what I'm geeking on. Well, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us blather on about funny books.
Don't think we don't appreciate it.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Buy more of our merchandise or this kitten will die. Wait, we don't have any merchandise, do we? Okay.
You've got a kitten?
Sorry, kitten. Oh, well. Ugh, what a mess. Somebody hit my music. Call my mama. I feel like dancing.
I'm the greatest. 1, 2, 3.